Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys high-fiving with words, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today we are continuing our Build a Crew series on a caper crew, a heist team.
Yes.
Last week we picked our
lookouts, our decoys, our bait.
Yes. And today we are going to pick our muscle.
Our muscle, the big brawny guys.
The muscle, the big brawny guys, the person who protects and makes sure that stuff, if it gets out of hand, it'll get handled.
You mentioned TV tropes, I think, last episode, but here's how they define the muscle. Hmm. It's the brute, the big guy. He's around to help with carrying heavy things, getting into fist fights, acting as a bodyguard, and being threatening and menacing.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Bingo, bingo.
Now, before we get into that, up top, tangent. We, a couple weeks ago, did a Rocketeer reboot podcast.
So fun.
And we asked y'all to go onto our social medias and let us know which character, either Mikey's character or my character, that we picked for each role, which one you prefer. And we got a bunch of responses, over dozens.
That's awesome. There's dozens of us.
Multiple.
I hope I won all of them. I'm surprised. Dozens. I haven't looked at these.
We are going to let you guys know who got the picks. All right. So it looks like I'm a very good movie producer.
Oh, spoiler alert.
So, for Cliff Secord, the Rocketeer, it looks like Liam Helmsworth edged out Taron Egerton 53.3%.
That makes sense.
Close.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Close.
50-50 almost.
Jenny Blake, Chloe Bennett got it by 66.7%.
Oh, a little bit higher. Okay.
Much preferred.
Definitely yours.
PV Peabody got 60%. Alonzo Bolden over Mark Ruffalo.
That's awesome.
So
you're wrong, though. Mark Ruffalo would be great, but you made a great argument for Alonzo Bolden.
Howard Hughes. It looks like Ron Livingston got 60% over Tom Hardy.
Boo. Just kidding.
Neville Sinclair. Benedict Cumberbatch got 53.3% over Henry Cavill.
Yep.
Eddie Valentine, Joey Diaz got 60% over the 40% for Colin Farrell. Ah, but here, Lothar.
Uh-oh.
Dave Bautista, 53.3%.
Yeah, I got one.
Over Rory McCann.
Yes.
46.7. And then, here's an interesting one. Who should wear the jetpack in Rocketeer 2? It's a tie.
Ooh.
A tie.
50-50 split.
Between Maya Hawke and Ross Lynch, who are both my choices.
Both your picks, but
they both had 40%, and then there's 20% for Sophie Lillis in there.
I like it.
So seems like we might need to cast them both.
Oh, yeah, we could do Son of Rocketeer and Daughter of Rocketeer.
I mean, either make them siblings or make one the love interest of the other one.
Oh, brother-sister Rocketeer movie? That makes it even better.
Yeah.
Two jetpacks this time. Twice the action, double the fun. I'm on board.
And we did find out that there was like a baby rock. They actually did Daughter of Rocketeer, but it was like a little kid show.
They made it. It's a cartoon animated sort of kid show. Yeah. It exists, but not what we're talking about.
Like Dora.
But props to you. You seem to have won in the landslide out of all the spots. But I am happy to see that it wasn't like none of them were blowouts. Like none of them were 90 to 10. So I'll take solace in that and go cry in the corner later. But I salute you. That was so much fun, recasting the Rocketeer.
It was fun. So, that business taken care of. Back to your regular programming.
Next up in the minutes.
So, we're going to pick our muscles. So, as we talked about last week, and I did take all kinds of crap online for it. Well, one kind of crap from our friend Scooter.
Scooter Shabazz. He shows up a lot.
But we originally had gotten this off of a video game group site.
Yes.
And they wanted you to pick video game characters, and I kind of forgot about that. But Mikey went ahead and did it, and I showed up with three TV characters, not even on purpose. That's just kind of who I picked. So in order to limit me, I am only going to pick from television shows. And my goal is to build a really good caper crew. And And Mikey was having fun going, this is going to be so fun and weird. So Mikey will be continuing with the video games, making a fun crazy Caper Crew that you can play on some kind of crazy mashup game.
Oh yeah, it'd be a weird, it'd be the weirdest video game ever. But restriction is good, and we both have our limitations, and though our limitations are different, the creative exercise is still there. So yes, it's still fun. Props to you for sticking to TV. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think that means we should get into it.
Yes, we should get into it. So, Mikey, the muscle, number three.
The big guy, the brute. Number threes in our build a crew tend to follow a pattern in that it's kind of as silly, kind of a throwaway. But my first intimidation, my first muscle that I have on my team is Doom Guy. The Doom guy from Doom.
Oh, does he not have a name?
He doesn't have a name.
Really?
He really doesn't.
Is he supposed to be you, basically?
That's the whole premise.
He's not like Blazkowicz or...
No, he doesn't. There isn't even like a Wikipedia internet rumored name. It's John Romero made Doom back in the 90s, the old school computer game. And he said, basically, he wants it to be you. So he didn't let him talk, didn't give him a name, didn't really make him distinguished, but...
There's a drawing of the dude, though, on the cover, the first cover, I think, isn't there?
And, like, he's iconic now. You can definitely find representations of him.
Uh-huh.
The reason I thought of him is because Doom has made a resurgence. In 2016, they rebooted Doom, and then just this year, they came out with the sequel to that. It's a reboot, a sequel reboot? I don't know, but called Doom Eternal. And so, just in, like, memes and on the internet, Doom Guy is now an active participant, but you never really see his face. He's Master Chief from Halo, but just on steroids, like ripped. Like, you can see chunks of his skin through his armor just because he's too big for his armor. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, and he has some chainsaw skills.
He does. He's good with a variety of weapons. He's faced the demons of hell. When I picture him in my real-life heist team setting, it is almost that going to Game of Thrones, like Zombie Mountain, you know? You just have that. It's like a hulk of a figure that... doesn't say a word, doesn't emote, but you know he's just, this guy's pretty badass.
The man with no name. That's interesting. I would have thought that it was, because they usually do backstories and all this kind of stuff for the Avatar, but...
The closest they get is they refer to him as the Doom Marine or Doom Slayer, but he never has a title, never has a name.
The Doom Marine.
Yes.
So he is supposed to be like a military guy.
Yeah, in the loosest sense, it seems. Because the way they refer to him online is just Doom Guy. Like, not Marie. Like, it's Doom
That's
Guy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Doom Guy. I remember playing the first one, and I remember having the feeling that you were just one of those Marines that wasn't dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you come across all those dead ones.
Oh, yeah. Because you're fighting the hell mouths and all that stuff.
That's funny. Because I never thought of that, because those old games, it wasn't always really clear who you were most times anyway.
Yeah, because it was all first person. You only saw the gun or whatever.
Even when it was third person, they usually didn't explain what was happening.
That's true.
But, yeah.
But he's huge. He's scary. He can take care of everything. I don't know if he's a team player, really, because every time I've played as him or encountered him, he's a lone wolf kind of guy. But we'll see how it goes. Third pick.
Everybody's dead.
Yes.
Doom Guy.
Doom Guy.
All right. My number three is, again, like, our number three is sometimes throwaway. This is not funny throwaway. It's a throwaway because I can't use it because... we do a thing here where if you use a franchise, you've burnt it. So that way you don't end up with Ocean's 11, literally.
Yeah, just picking all the characters
from
that
Ocean's
movie.
11 be like, here's my team.
They already made a movie about it. Yeah. It's great.
So you have to, once you've used something, you can't use it anymore. But you can use it in your three. So
as long as it's not your number one pick.
Not your number one pick. So this is, since my number one was from Breaking Bad, I picked my number three from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul.
Nice.
The guy with the... great last name of Ehrmantraut.
Ehrmantraut.
Mike Ehrmantraut, played by Jonathan Banks, so well. He is the former Chicago police officer who we find out in Better Call Saul was just working at the parking garage of the police station down there in Arizona or New Mexico. Where are they? I think it's New Mexico. Yeah, they're in Albuquerque, right?
Albuquerque, yes.
They're in Albuquerque. And, he could fill many of the roles in a heist group, but ultimately he's muscle. He knows how to use, I've never seen a gun he didn't know how to use. I've never seen anything he didn't know how to do, really.
I got you.
He's such an interesting character, of course. I mean, Breaking Bad makes these interesting characters.
Yes.
But he's a scary looking older guy.
He's bald, he's menacing, he has a sort of permanent scowl all the time.
Yes.
But yeah.
but he's eminently capable. I mean, he always has is one step ahead of either side of the law, and it's always hard to tell which side of the law this guy is on. But he has like this code of ethics, sort of. And there's a great quote where he talks about, like, you know, he's met bad priests and good thieves and, you know, all this kind of stuff, because he's so old and grizzled.
He's also like the Renaissance man, jack of all trades. He's seen enough of the world that he takes it on by a case by case basis. It's not so much just like the good guys are the good guys and the bad guys are the bad guys.
Yeah.
We're going to do our job and I may have to rough somebody up, but.
Because he was a former cop, he knows how the cops work, and now he's like in organized crime, so he knows how that works.
Okay.
And he's a real professional about it, and his whole motivation is his granddaughter and trying to make enough money for her.
I got you.
He has like an offshore account for her that's in her name, and that she's going to inherit at some point.
That's good motivation.
And, you know, so he's a family man. I wouldn't call him the criminal with the heart of gold, because it's a hard heart. The only gold heart he has, I think, is for that little girl.
That makes sense. So, everything else is sort of auxiliary.
Yeah. It's his son's daughter, and his son was a cop, too, and was killed by two other cops.
Does he ever get engaged in fisticuffs on the show? Does he ever, like, beat people with his hands, or is he more of a, like, a guns tough guy?
He's kind of more of a guns tough guy. I could swear, though, he's, like, taking some... He's violent.
He's
done plenty of violence.
Okay.
He knows how to use a sniper rifle, and people really don't get the drop on him that much. So
okay.
He would be perfect, but I already got Billy Burr.
There you go.
Being the lookout.
There you go.
And if I put him in there, then I'm literally building a Breaking Bad crew.
Jonathan Banks plays Professor Hickey in the show Community. I love the show Community, but... It seems like it's that same character. They just happen to put him in a community college, but he's still like grizzled and angry and like doesn't take any guff from anybody. So I love it. It seems like it's more Jonathan Banks than it is. Better Call Saul.
Dollars to donuts. He's probably one of the sweetest men you'd ever meet.
I believe it.
I bet you. I don't even know. I've never seen any interviews or anything, but it always seems to be that way.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree with that. That's a great third pick.
Mm-hmm. Ermintrout. You know how that's spelled? Ermintrout?
Probably not how it sounds.
Ermantraut.
There's a whole bunch of extra letters I didn't think were going to be in there.
Yeah, Ermintrout.
And I don't see the word trout in there at all. Like the fish should be trout.
Oh, man.
But excellent third pick. That means we are on to second picks. Still kind of like, I guess I have to do away with the disclaimer that these are silly, because I'm picking video game characters to sort of do a heist team in the real world. But I like your idea that
it
could also
just... I don't think it's the real world. I think it's a video game.
But me picking them, I picture them in the real world.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well,
but it could be a video game, and this would make it really fun.
So maybe you're making one of those movies where video game characters come into the real world.
That's kind of how it is in my head. Like, when I visualize it, I'm making my picks. There's lawmen, there's police cars, it's in, like, New York downtown, but also it's video game characters.
I think we've created a movie here.
I love
Copyright
it.
Assuming positions, copyright assuming productions right now.
On the record.
On the record. Because, I mean, seriously, think about it. You got this dude who's like a computer guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to do a heist.
Yeah.
And he figures out a way how to get characters out of video games into the real world to do the heist.
They've got infinite lives if you know all the cheat codes.
That's a perfect movie.
We'll work on the screenplay. That's our next project.
Yeah. You can't take it. Copyright.
Yep. We claim it right now. But we'll have to clear the license for some of these, because my second pick is a classic. He is iconic. It's Zangief from Street Fighter. The giant Russian Ivan Drago looking. He's got scars all over his body. He's got a mohawk. I think he's about 7 feet tall, maybe 7'2". I don't know. I couldn't find any consistent stats online, but... Zangief from Street Fighter is the first character to be grappling just muscle people around. So that was the whole point of his character. And I think anytime that dude shows up, you could put him in a suit, maybe, custom tailored suit. But you see that guy in a suit, you're like, oh, I'm not going to mess with Zangief.
Anytime I think Street Fighter, it just makes me want to like stand to the side and just kind of rock my shoulders up and down.
Your fighting pose. Yep. You got to go through the cycle show that you're psyched up. I had to pick from Street Fighter, though, because that was like the first fighting, like playing that in the arcades, putting my quarter up. That's old school Mikey right there.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm picking from that video game. Also, he's still in the zeitgeist because he was in Wreck-It Ralph. when they're having the bad guys anonymous meeting. Oh, he has the best line in the entire movie. Yeah. He goes, "Just because you are a bad guy does not make you bad guy." And if he has those kind of morals, but he's still as big and like scary as he is, oh, I want him on my team.
Was he your go-to on Street Fighter?
No, because he's the muscle. He works in a heist team because that's his position. But if you're in a, for me, hot take, I guess, on a game that's 30 years old, but if you're in a fighting competition, he's a little too slow and sluggish. He's got the power, but...
Who'd you go with?
It was Guile or Ken.
Mm.
Ryu was popular for my friends. But yeah, like, if we're talking usual defaults, I think mine were probably either Ken or... Ken was the blonde-haired kung fu guy, and Guile was the military backflipping Sonic Boom dude.
Yeah. Well, I either went with Blanka, because easy.
Yeah.
He was a button masher.
He was the button masher character. Sure. Yep.
Or if I wanted to get a little fancier, I'd go with Chun-Li, just because I wanted to see Chun-Li.
she had the curves and the moves, man. Exactly.
Then before you get on me, this was like I was a teenager, so reasons.
That was half the reason they made those video games. But she can still flip through the air and kick your butt, so.
Lots of quarters on that game.
Lots of quarters. Zangief is definitely the person out of that cast of characters that I want to be the muzzle on my team, because... Outside of a fighting tournament, I don't think she's scared of anything, you know?
Oh, maybe Baron Woods.
Maybe Baron Woods, but... Oh, wait, I did have a funny point. Hold on. On the internet, somebody did a death battle between Zangief and Mike Hagar from Final Fight. I don't know if that's a reference in your brain at all.
No.
But they're essentially two types of characters, but the deciding factor came down that Zangief won because he fought bears in the woods. So he's not even afraid of bears.
He's not afraid of Baron Woods.
Because apparently that's part of his Street Fighter backstory, is that's part of his training, is he fights bears. So, really? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's making me laugh because there's that goalie who said he's only afraid of Baron Forest.
There you go.
That's it. But then also, too, Joe Rogan is always talking about every Russian MMA guy. He's like, he used to wrestle bears.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they did. So it's kind of funny that Street Fighter characters just known. He's a Russian fighter. Yeah, he fought bears.
And are you going to mess with a guy that just practices with giant wild animals like that? No. Perfect muscle.
Oh, great. That's fun. All right. My number two pick.
Number two.
So this show I've been doing a rewatch with my kids.
Fun.
And didn't realize that it's very heisty and very capery. And I had to pick from it last week that we didn't use. But this week, also not using, but a second one. This was the flip-flop.
Yep.
My two-in-one's a flip-flop hours before the podcast and sometimes minutes before. And sometimes during.
I think it happened.
But I'm sticking with him at number two. It's a fella known as the Hero of Canton.
Ah.
The man they call Jane. I pick Jane Cobb because when I think of muscle, I think of Jane Cobb.
Absolutely.
Do you want someone who can use knives, fists, guns, and is just a criminal up for, if there's money to be made?
Yes.
He's there.
If there's a job to do, he'll do it.
Yes. But the reason why... Good old Jane Cobb. Oh, Jane Cobb from Firefly. Sorry, everyone who's like, who are you talking about? Jane Cobb from Firefly, certainly the Joss Whedon cowboy show that we've talked about. Well, space western, literally almost, that Fox didn't give a chance because they sucked back then. It might still suck now. I don't know. I don't watch network TV anymore.
Yep, weird times.
Anyway, drives me crazy, though, because it's totally a show that Netflix would have run with, I think.
Oh, it would have survived in the streaming platform, for sure. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Survived in streaming. But anyway, we've lamented that over and over again on this podcast and conventions and amongst all sci-fi fans. Have you ever met anyone who's been like, Firefly?
That's one of those things, just because I think because it ended so early and there is only so much of it that it adds to the lore of it.
Lefty wanting more?
It wrapped things up for the season one arc, but... Most great shows have like three season arcs, you know? They never got that full resolution.
Yeah.
Even with the movie, it only still is like an extra long episode to me.
Yeah, so Jane never fully got realized. You could see where they're pushing that Jane started off as very mercenary.
Yep.
When they do the flashback and you meet him for the first time, it's basically Mal's able to get him to leave. He's at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets him to leave and join him by offering him more money and his own room. So
that's how a businessman works.
Then,
yep.
Then Jane goes and just shoots his partner. You know, it's like, I'm with them now. So that's kind of the problem with Jane, because, and it happens later on in the series, he'll sell you out if he has the opportunity to.
I believe it.
But given that, as the show progresses, they kind of see that his character starts changing. And yep. starts kind of getting softer to the crew and starts getting a little more loyal and things like that. But he never was able to fully get there. So I'm taking the Jane that is the Jane who might very well just, I can't trust him fully. So for a heist crew, I'm not sure if I want him there because, you know,
I have to make sure
that he's getting paid properly.
Exactly.
Or else he's going to sell you out.
Those are two points you have to take care of, but when I think you're talking about a muscle character in the heist realm, it's pretty easy. One, Jane's a little dumb.
He is a little dumb.
But just enough dumb that you can, like, change his mind with money or influence. Yeah. Like, he's the type of muscle you need, you know? You got to be able to control him a little bit because you don't want him fighting against you. He's so big.
He is.
He knows everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, he is ultimately capable. The great thing about Joss Whedon and his shows and how he, like, kind of puts little sentence nuggets in there to put backstory on people without having to go into great exposition.
Yeah, a little passing detail.
Yeah, and one of the little passing details is one of our favorite things about his gun, Vera. Which he named. But he said he got it off of six assassins trying to kill him, or one of six assassins trying to kill him, which says he had six assassins after him, took care of all of them, and got this crazy, insane gun off of them.
That he made a trophy just to remind him how cool he is.
I have what it's called. It's crazy. It's a Callahan full bore auto lock with customized trigger, double cartridge, and thorough gauge.
Oh, wow. That sounds fancy.
Yeah. Or just Vera. But so, yeah, he would be great muscle. He did a great job for the crew of Firefly.
Yep.
It's kind of funny because they don't just do like dumb and bumbling. He's dumb and capable. He's good at what he does. He has that very kind of salt of the earth thing you run into. They made him like, there's real people. He's a real people.
Yeah, and for as much as he's a criminal and a mercenary, he probably grew up on a farm somewhere. I don't know if they ever got into that, but that seems like it'd be...
Well, we know he loves his mama.
Yeah, see? And
we know he sends money back to his mama.
To help with the farm.
And his mama sends him a cunning hat.
Yeah, see? She's knitting on the farm. I'm buying it. Space Western, yeah. They have a ranch somewhere that he grew up throwing hay bales around, and that's why he's just so...
A man walks down the street with a hat like that, ain't afraid of anything.
Ain't afraid of anything. And he has a song after him. Because he's legendary, even though he doesn't want to be.
And one little side note for us Red Dead players, do you know that his pistol is a LeMat?
That's the same gun from the game.
Red Dead, there's the LeMat, which is one of the guns that I use. It's the one that has a little shotgun on the bottom of it.
Uh-huh.
It's a pistol with a shotgun on the bottom of it. That's the gun that Jane uses.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's been modified. They like stuck like a little thing on the shotgun on the bottom, like a little... They stick crap on it. They did the Star Wars thing with it. They find a real gun and stick junk on it and make it look space.
It's in the future, yeah. Technology is advanced. We've added things to guns.
But it's a LeMat. I just found that out doing research for this. I was like, hey, I know what kind of gun that is because my cowgirl runs around using one of them.
That's one of my preferred ones.
It is one of my preferred ones. It has like what? It has like seven shots. It has more than six. It's more than the six shooter, and then it has a shotgun on the bottom.
That's perfect.
So it's like bang, 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 boom.
Boom.
It's great.
And that's how you and Jane can bond in the heist group. You can talk about, hey, you're a fan of the LeMat? Check out this old school LeMat.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's one of those rock star guns that in real life was actually horrible.
Oh, I believe it.
It was like it didn't work very well, especially, you know, blowing a shotgun round off on a pistol.
That sounds like something that happened accurately once and then kind of accurately every time after that.
Yeah.
I believe it.
So anyway, the hair of Ken, the man they call Jane.
Hey, muscle and guns. He's perfect for the team. That means we are now up to number one picks. The top of the top.
Dibbity top.
This ties into how I was picturing it, because I am picturing the heist team in your TV world, but there just happens to be video game characters. So it's kind of for the bit, but it's still... I'm on board. The muscle for my team is probably going to be Donkey Kong. And you can take... Yeah, I know. Donkey Kong, classic, iconic. I don't really have to describe him. If you don't know who Donkey Kong is. You haven't played arcade games or video games in a while. He started in the arcades.
In ever,
yeah. He was around when Mario was around. But progressively, kind of like the Hulk in video games, Donkey Kong's in video game has gotten bigger and bigger in perspective and in proportion to all the other characters he's around.
Mm-hmm.
He had Donkey Kong Country, which he was kind of big in, but they also put him in Mario Kart, which he was huge in, and then they put him in Smash Brothers, which he just towers over everybody. So Donkey Kong, big hulking gorilla, monkey, ape. Put that in real life. If you had a semi-sentient smart gorilla that was on your team and on your side, oh, that makes me so happy. I just want to see him ref people up.
It'd be that movie. What was the movie with the big oversized gorilla and the...
Something Joe?
Yeah, Mighty Joe.
Mighty Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. See, just like
maybe
that.
That size. So I wonder, is Donkey Kong considered a Mario game? Because he was in it.
Here's the detail that I have in my notes. He was created around the same time that Mario was originally created. Like, uh-huh. They were part of the original lineup by Miyamoto, who is essentially the Stan Lee of Nintendo. Like, he made all the foundational characters. They wanted to do a Popeye game, but they couldn't get the rights to Popeye. So they essentially tried to recreate those roles. So if you make Mario Popeye, there's a girlfriend that's Olive Oil, but Bluto, the uh-huh. big hunking brute dude,
yeah.
They just made Donkey a giant Kong. Gorilla.
Wait, I always thought the girl was the princess.
Yes, the princess, the girlfriend, but it was a relation to Olive Oil. So Mario, Princess, and Donkey Kong are essentially just stand-ins for Popeye, Olive Oil, and Brutus. But Donkey Kong, I think they leveled up with him, but they were all created around the same time.
That makes so much more sense as to what's happening in that game.
Exactly.
Like with the barrels and like the scaffolding. And it, I mean, if you, oh my goodness, my mind is being blown right now. That's crazy because if I can totally see it.
Exactly.
What? Wow.
See me, Popeye. Instead of spinach, he eats mushrooms, and he gets big and strong. It's great.
Yeah, man. Wow.
See? There's just a lot of weird crossovers and tangents like that.
Donkey Kong, and then Donkey Kong Jr., was that the next one?
It was.
And that's where you played Donkey Kong?
You played
Donkey Kong's son. You played Donkey Kong Jr.
Yes.
It had the swinging on the vine.
Yep.
And all that stuff.
It's a little twisty and turny, but it goes even deeper than that.
Let's do it.
So, did you ever play Donkey Kong Country on Nintendo 64? The Rare series that they did where it's the side-scroller. It's like a Mario level, but you're playing Donkey Kong and you go through like mine carts and stuff.
No.
Okay. Well, they made these games, but they added a whole bunch of family like Cranky Kong and Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong?
Exactly.
Man, I love his albums.
Yeah, see? Well, the music in Donkey Kong Country is amazing, but there is also DJ Kong who has some of the better hits. But Cranky Kong in this game is the grandfather. Keep laughing. This is going to get better. Cranky Kong is the grandfather, but he's actually the son of Donkey Kong Jr., so the whole lineage of all the Kongs goes back to the original arcade games up until now. I don't know if it continues with Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, but as far as the Donkey Kong-centric games go, there is a genealogy and a family tree that they've sort of preserved throughout the entire series.
Oh, my gosh.
So
it's like
his
Chewbacca's
name,
crazy family.
Exactly. Just like Wookiees. It's all Kongs. But there's a whole bunch of them, and they just keep multiplying.
So wait a minute. So in Smash Brothers, is it Donkey Kong or is it one of the family members?
It's Donkey Kong, but because he's... Where he is in the timeline, he's essentially the great-great-grandson of the Donkey Kong from the 80s arcade game.
They're not supposed to be the same guy?
No.
That's why they're different sized.
Yes. But they wear the family tie.
Different. The family tie.
It has DK on it. No, but it's still Donkey Kong, but he's named after his great-grandfather. Like, they sort of make hints to that. So it's headcanon for me.
The Michael J. Fox family tie.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But Donkey Kong, he wears a tie, you can put him in a suit, he's comfortable hanging out at the top of skyscrapers and dealing with bad guys while things go down, so he's my number one pick for muscle. I want to hang out with a giant gorilla right now.
Oh, I love it. So much fun. All right. My number one
dun, dun, dun.
Is a favorite from childhood, and
yes.
Should be everyone's favorite, and would be great on a heist. He is a criminal with a heart of gold because he's been wrongly accused.
Oh, no.
Along with his team. They did nothing wrong. But if you need help and no one else can help you, they'll come. They're the A-Team.
The A-Team.
And I picked B.A. Baragas.
Yes.
From the A-Team. Mr. T version. No offense to the latest version where Rampage Jackson played, but sorry. B.A. Baragas is Mr. T, yes. And no one else can be B.A. Baragas but Mr. T.
Nope.
Sorry.
Yep, I'm with you.
Can't be done. Some things cannot be rebooted or remade.
Some fools cannot be pitied.
No, you can't do it. Okay, so listen, younger people, you have no idea what a cultural phenomenon Mr. T was.
Yes.
I mean, this show rocketed him to stardom. He was in a Rocky movie, fine. That's great. But,
that's right.
But that wasn't where he got noticed. He got noticed because he was on your small screen for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And was such a colorful character on the show, The A-Team. The A-Team, just to break it down for you, it was a TV show that was basically, there was this squad of special forces guys from Vietnam,
yep,
who got wrongly accused of a crime they didn't commit. They told you this at the beginning of every episode. And they're on the run from, they escaped from the federal or military prison or whatever they were in.
The people after them.
And the military police are after them, but they're going around Robin Hooding stuff because they're good guys.
Yep.
And the military police aren't. A lot of this was interesting, if you want to get psychological or sociological, a lot of this is post-Vietnam guilt stuff.
Oh, that makes
being
I get
played
it, yeah.
out and stuff where the military was bad and evil, and they did wrong things, and these guys were just forced to do things they didn't feel comfortable doing, and now they're on the run and trying to right the wrongs in the world. So
good people caught in bad situations. Yes.
So they're a mercenary group. They would do heisty type things sometimes, and all kinds of. The show is a cartoon. It's a live action cartoon, really. And Mr. T is the cartooniest of them all because he wore like 50 pounds of chains and jewelry, mm-hmm. rings and bracelets and feather earrings. And he had the haircut. That's actually that everyone just calls it a mohawk, but it actually wasn't a mohawk. It's like a traditional African haircut.
Yeah, because it's. Yeah. A little bit bigger and a little bit poofier than a mohawk.
Yeah, it's based on an actual African tribe.
Oh, cool.
So, anyway, because of the way Mr. T looked, because of the way he acted, I pitied a fool, you know, all that stuff, he became a cultural phenomenon.
Yes.
He had a cereal. He had a cereal that if you watch the Pee Wee Herman movie.
That's right. He eats Mr. T.
He eats Mr. T cereal.
That's right.
I think that's all he eats. He makes that big giant breakfast and then pours Mr. T cereal on top of it. That takes one little bite of the Mr. T cereal and then taps his mouth and he's done.
Yeah, even though he has like toast and eggs and everything. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So was A-Team Mr. T's first role?
I think he might have been in the Rocky movie first.
Oh, okay.
I didn't look this up because I just cared about B.A. Baragas.
Hey, that's all that counts.
Anyway. Yeah. But B.A. Baragas was played by Mr. T, and he pretty much was Mr. T. There's really not a whole lot of acting happening there.
No. they let that man be the magical influence that he was.
They're like, be you, except instead of being Mr. T, you're called B.A. Baragas today, okay?
Whatever you say, fool.
B.A. Baragas, B.A. stands for Bad Attitude. Actually, his name was Bosco Albert, so B.A., but they called it Bad Attitude.
That's
I always knew it as Bad Attitude.
Yeah.
Baragas as a kid. Listen, I was a huge fan of A-Team. I had A-Team action figures.
Uh-huh.
And, man, I loved this show. It was so cartoony. It was so silly. They shot guns like crazy, blew stuff up, and no one got killed.
It was just a whole bunch of bullets and artillery.
Yeah, like cars would get flipped over and they'd be sure to show the guys crawling out, like going like, oh gosh, they weren't even wearing seatbelts in there, but they crawl out like, oh boy.
It's going to be a bruise tomorrow.
Yeah, boy, I'm dizzy. It was ridiculous, but it was so much fun.
Yes.
And B.A. was, I mean, the guy's huge, strong, tough. He's almost one punch man a lot of times. I mean, every time he fought, it was basically like, it was like Chewbacca-like stuff. Like, his biggest move was lifting people up over his head and throwing them.
That makes sense, yep.
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of kung fu dodging and blocking. It was basically like...
brute strength.
They'd hit Mr. T, and he'd look at him like, really? And then he'd, like, knock him out.
That's perfect.
It was perfect. Now, he is kind of obvious, so he would kind of be a distraction, too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I don't really care. I want B.A. Baragas on my heist team. He can get all kinds of stuff done. He's got all kinds of technical skills. And He comes with a van, and I'm using the van.
That counts. Because I was just going to say, wasn't he also the driver of the A-team?
Like, he was the driver, and we are going to pick our own driver, which is fine, but I want that van. That 1983 GMC van, black and black metallic.
Murdered out.
With a red stripe of it, and that spoiler.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Spoiler on a van. I remember that.
Wheels, right?
Yep.
Yeah, man. That thing was the coolest thing ever.
I think it was the only all-purpose minivan I've ever seen, at least on TV.
And he'd routinely turn it into a tank.
Yep.
It was always my favorite. It always gave me the giggle, like, later on. And because since then, you can find the A-Team on, like, TV Land stuff. It's in reruns. I run across it here and there. And I always stop down and watch it. And it doesn't hold up great. But like I said, it's so much fun. And my favorite part is every episode, way before MacGyver, they have like a MacGyver thing they have to do. And they have a montage where Mr. T pulls out the acetylene torch and starts turning the van into a tank or something similar like that.
Yes.
And it's always funny to me because he never takes any of those dang rings or necklaces off.
Nope.
Like, he's such an OSHA hazard waiting to happen, but nope.
That's who he is.
Yeah, that's who I am, fool. You know?
That's his mojo.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This is like one of those things where I've learned from Mikey. Sometimes you just want to pick someone that you want to hang around with. So I got Billy Burr and Mr. T together.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yes.
That is priceless.
I mean, how much fun would that be?
And you know, I mean, it's Mr. T and it's the A-Team. So if you have a problem, Mr. T is going to help you solve it in 30 minutes or less.
Yeah.
They have a schedule to keep.
Yes. So, man, he'd be the best model. He knows how to use the guns.
Yep.
He knows how to use his fisticuffs and just, he's the greatest. If any of you are too young to know what's going on with Mr. T, look it up.
Yes.
Especially look up his rap song about
Respect Your Mother.
Yeah, Respect Your Mother. It's so 80s, but it's so what was happening, and we loved every minute of it. And he's kind of a meme now, and people kind of laugh, but you do not realize that in the 80s, he was the coolest.
The coolest.
Yes.
And when like somebody that's that cool and that big tells you to respect your mother, you're like, okay, Mr. T, I will respect my mother. There is no other. No. I hear you.
Whatever you say, Mr. T.
Oh, I love it.
Please don't pity me.
Oh, perfect muscle.
So as long as we don't fly, Mr. T, see, there's no, I can't tell the difference. But B.A. Baracus didn't like to fly.
Oh, okay.
They'd always have to drug him.
Yep.
Knock him out. Yeah, they'd have to knock him out to get him to fly. He didn't like to fly. And they also put in there, Mr. T was always a guy, no drugs, no alcohol, stay in school.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So B.A. Baracus didn't do any of that stuff, and he preferred to drink milk.
There you go.
So they showed him drinking milk because it's good for the kids.
Good for the bones.
Yeah, makes you strong.
So he's a great guy. He's a good guy that happens to be in the wrong team, but that's the A-Team.
So maybe the heist team isn't that evil. Maybe they're doing Robin Hood heists.
We may have to figure that out.
I don't know. We'll see. Depends on how my picks go the rest of the way.
You're kidnapping people that don't respect mothers, and Mr. T is totally, B.A. Baracus is totally on board.
See, there's the line between the character and the man are very thin.
It's all Mr. T.
Yeah.
That's who he was.
Yes, and brilliant. Sometimes you just have to be, it's like how they were with Robin Williams early on.
Yes.
They're just like, just be Robin Williams, but we'll call you Mark.
Yeah. Here's your paycheck. Do what you do, and we'll see you in a week.
All right. So that is our muscles.
Our muscles. Our hired help.
So Mikey's team so far has?
Lakitu, the flying cloud turtle from Mario Kart, is my lookout decoy, and my muscle is Donkey Kong.
Yes, and I got old Billy Burr and old Mr. T.
I want to... Even if it's just a buddy heist movie with them, I want to see it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Let's make that one happen.
One's the driver. One's the guys that punches everybody that tries to get in the car.
Speaking of drivers, are we going to do our wheelman next?
That is one of the options. I think that may be what we do.
All right. So we're going to see who's riding in the GM, who's driving the GMC van for Mr. T.
There you go.
Which happens sometimes. Usually he drove it, but every once in a while, one of the other A-Team would have to drive it because he was doing something.
We're hiring a team that, you know, everybody can sort of help out with everybody else. That's the whole point.
But you're not taking the van from me. He's part of it. He's part of it.
Yeah. He's like the action figure. That's it comes with him. It's part of his accessories. No van, no Mr. T.
So next week, we'll pick our wheelmen.
And if you want to start making your picks for wheelmen, for muscle, for the lookout decoys that we have, you can check us out on social media.
Yeah, hit us up at Assuming Pod on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and let us know who you want to be your muscle, who you want to be your lookout. And maybe you can give us a preview on who you want to be your wheelman. We won't steal it, promise. Just don't pick video games or television, because then we might accidentally steal it.
Yeah, go for movies. Maybe books. Ooh, books would be hard.
Books would be hard. Are there caper books?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Kind of like James Bond. I mean, but anyway.
You can also Gmail us at assumingpositions@gmail.com. And we want to thank you so much for listening. And we want to thank that guy Brad for doing our announcing, Jazzar for our music, Not Scott Products for equipment. And we hope everyone is being safe out there. Wash your hands. Wear your masks in places that would like you to wear masks.
And hire somebody to punch anybody that messes with you.
I pity the fool.
We pity the fool. That's the same gun from the weapon.
It's the same gun from the weapon.
Same gun from the game. Sorry. Yeah, I know.
There we go. There's something for the end of the show.